Picture a simple greengrocer arranging his vegetables, then dutifully placing a sign that reads, "Workers of the world, unite." Why? Not from revolutionary fervor, but because it's expected. This mundane act forms the cornerstone of Vaclav Havel's brilliant analysis of what he calls post-totalitarian systems, regimes that no longer rely primarily on terror, but on something more insidious, our complicity in our own oppression. The sign communicates, "I behave as expected. I am obedient." The greengrocer would never display a sign reading, "I am afraid," because he'd be ashamed. Instead, ideology provides a veneer of nobility that conceals the true nature of his surrender. This daily ritual of small compliance becomes woven into society's fabric, where each citizen becomes both victim and supporter of the system. This is the genius of modern totalitarianism. It offers citizens the illusion of dignity while making it easier to surrender their authentic selves. The system creates a web where everyone monitors everyone else, making resistance not just dangerous, but socially awkward. Ideology serves as a bridge between regime and people, presenting the system as natural and opposition as not just illegal, but unnatural. The system requires not fanaticism, but passive acceptance, the willingness to live within a lie. Unlike classical dictatorships, post-totalitarian systems operate across vast power blocks, using sophisticated surveillance and propaganda to serve a dominant superpower's interests. External stability depends on nuclear deterrence and military threat. The system's durability stems from historical connections to legitimate social movements, providing authenticity despite abandoning original ideals. Its ideology offers ready-made answers to existential questions, functioning as a secular religion that provides psychological certainty at the expense of individual reason. A fundamental tension exists between life's natural plurality and the system's demands for uniformity. Life continuously generates unexpected forms, while the system reduces these to standardized patterns. The relationship with citizens is purely instrumental. The system serves people only to ensure their continued service to it. Ideology justifies systemic demands as natural laws. This dishonesty pervades everything. Democratic governance becomes bureaucratic control. Censorship becomes information management. Cultural suppression becomes development. The regime must distort reality while pretending to respect human rights. What happens when the greengrocer finally snaps? When he removes the sign, stops voting in sham elections, speaks his mind, and shows solidarity with others? In this simple act, he steps out of living within the lie and begins living within truth. The consequences are swift. Demotion, reduced pay, vanished opportunities for his children, harassment. Yet those enforcing these sanctions aren't acting from conviction, they are merely components in the same machine. By breaking the rules, the greengrocer hasn't committed a simple offense, but exposed the system as a mere game. The system requires universal participation in the lie and cannot coexist with truth. When appearance confronts reality, the entire structure is threatened. The greengrocer's power isn't physical, but illuminating, exposing the system's unstable foundations. This is why living in truth must be suppressed so severely. It represents humanity's revolt against an enforced position, an attempt to reclaim one's responsibility. It's a moral act, undertaken not for utilitarian motives, but as a gamble for human dignity. The most significant political event in post-invasion Czechoslovakia emerged from an unexpected source, the trial of young musicians from the Plastic People of the Universe. This wasn't merely a legal proceeding, but a clash between bureaucratic control and authentic artistic expression. These musicians weren't dissidents, just ordinary citizens refusing to compromise their art. Their trial occurred when society was experiencing post-apathy syndrome. People were tired of being tired, exhausted by their own acquiescence. The trial united previously disconnected groups around a powerful recognition: freedom is indivisible. An attack on alternative culture constituted an attack on living within truth. Charter 77's emergence revealed that significant political movements often originate in the pre-political realm, where authentic living confronts systematic dishonesty. Actions become political not through intended aims, but because genuine expressions of freedom inherently threaten systems built on manipulation. As philosopher Jan Patočka, one of Charter 77's first spokespeople, wrote before his death during police interrogation, "There are some things worth suffering for." When those living within truth are denied influence on existing structures, they naturally create independent alternatives. These parallel structures represent alternatives to the official system, parallel forms of education, economies, cultural institutions, and information networks. Examples include underground universities where banned professors taught in private apartments, and Samizdat publishing networks that circulated forbidden literature. Ivan Žiris developed the concept of a second culture in Czechoslovakia, focusing on nonconformist rock music, underground concerts, and unofficial literary readings. Living within truth may begin simply, like a greengrocer refusing to display political slogans, but can grow into organizing workers, writing about injustice, or sharing unofficial literature. These individual acts gradually connect, forming networks of solidarity. The independent life of society emerges from these actions, including self-education through flying universities, underground theaters, environmental initiatives, and mutual aid networks. These parallel structures don't directly confront the regime, but create spaces where authentic life can flourish, gradually expanding freedom within an unfree society. The post-totalitarian condition demands examination beyond traditional politics. Western democracies, despite personal freedoms, offer no fundamental solution to modern civilization's crisis. Their citizens ultimately fall victim to the same automaticism. Solzhenitsyn noted in 1978 that freedoms without personal responsibility are illusory, and democracies consistently fail to oppose violence and totalitarianism. Any meaningful revolution must offer hope for society's moral reconstitution, a radical renewal of our relationship to the human order. We need a new experience of being, renewed rootedness in the universe, higher responsibility, and transformed relationships. Political structures emerging from this new spirit must prioritize human factors over formalized relationships, rehabilitating values like trust, openness, responsibility, solidarity, and love. These structures should remain open, dynamic, and small enough to preserve personal trust and responsibility. Dissident groups prefigure post-democratic structures through communities bound by shared tribulations and meaningful political relationships. They function more as communities than organizations, motivated by belief in their actions' significance despite lacking external validation. These groups emerge from authentic needs, unburdened by hollow traditions. Their attempts to create living within the truth suggest moral reconstitution. Whether organizing cooperatives, independent media, or grassroots movements, they operate with a flexibility bureaucracies cannot match. Havel observed how signing Charter 77 immediately created deeper relationships among virtual strangers, connections rarely found in official structures. This stems partly from facing common threats, though authorities work to contaminate these bonds through infiltration. What if the brighter future isn't distant but has been here all along? The greatest power lies not in weapons or institutions, but in the simple decision to live within truth. In a world dominated by propaganda and alternative facts, the most revolutionary act remains the most fundamental: to live as if truth matters, regardless of consequences. In that decision lies power no system can ultimately withstand.